The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Richie McCormack, evening.
Hey, Joe.
Will O'Callaghan, also with us. Hi, Will.
Evening, Joe. Evening, Rich.
The News Round on Off the Ball on News Talk with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. Now, OTBAM listeners will know James McLean was on with Owen and Jer this morning for the guts of 40 minutes. You can listen back to it on podcast, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, or the OTB app. And Richie, it's where you're starting your News Round. It was very interesting.
Yeah, James McLean saying his past indiscretions on social media are no excuse for the abuse he regularly receives. The reporter Vonnegut winger and his wife Erin have been speaking about the online abuse to which they're subjected. Death threats and threats to burn down their home, bullets sent in the post are just some of what McLean has received recently. And he shared one of those messages this morning on OTBAM. And a caution on this one, some listeners may find it distressing.
My brother received a message last night, and this is what it said. I'm sorry what I said about you and your brother and your brother's kids. I don't want them to burn in a house fire. I would much rather James go up in flames on a chair while his kids are tied opposite to him on two separate chairs, forced to watch their dirty, stinking, fiendian rebel bastard of a dad burn to the crisp. Maybe that's better, dying in a house fire with a smiley face. Now, I'm looking at this, right? It's actually sent by a kid. And this is a kid writing this, and you're thinking, wow, like, where's that hate? Like, I'm thinking back to me at that age, like that hate shouldn't be in you at that age. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, it's social media and just in society nowadays, it's a dangerous place.
Yeah, very grim, as you can imagine. Full interview, obviously, like I said, available in all the usual places. We'll play you a good chunk of it in the next hour after Wednesday Night Rugby. Will, thoughts?
Yeah, I think the message which was posted by his brother, who's now playing for Glentoran, which James McLean was relaying to both Owen and Jared this morning, was probably the most chilling of them, where there's, you know, a real kind of callousness about the idea of McLean's children being forced to watch their dad burning to death, which sounds even much worse than the original threat, which was about his house being burned down. And like James McLean, he divides opinion, Joe, and he has done really for the last decade, you know, particularly since the first time that he refused to wear a poppy on his shirt. And that was almost 10 years ago now at this point. And he said to the guys that it took 1 week for a bullet to be sent to his house after he decided to take that stance. And I mean, James McLean is a guy of principle, and he admits that, you know, he was ill-judged in the decision he made to put up that post with the balaclava on, the joke about, you know, teaching his children about the troubles while wearing that balaclava. And he winds up supporters from time to time as well. But nobody deserves the treatment that McLean has been subjected to over the last decade. And what sounds like in recent times, there has been a massive increase in the amount of, you know, really threatening language that's been sent his way, particularly on social media. It seemed to have really ramped up. It's strange because generally around November each year, we have this discussion. And I remember speaking to James McLean just over a year ago at an event at the Aviva Stadium. And he made the point when we spoke to him at that press conference that, you know, there was a huge outreach of emotion for people like Raheem Sterling when they were receiving online abuse. But he was saying that he was feeling like as if he had to stand alone against the abuse, the sectarian abuse that he was receiving. And, you know, multiple times playing for Stoke when fans were still in attendance up until March of last year, James McLean was getting pelters from the crowd during games and was being subjected to sectarian abuse on a fairly regular basis, but particularly around poppy season. And, you know, it takes an awful lot, lads, for Celtic Football Club and for Arlene Foster to be on the same page. But the abuse that James McLean has received has been enough to unite both of them in terms of condemning this abuse. The feeling would be now, are James McLean's teammates, particularly his Irish teammates, going to speak out more about this? And I know it was very interesting listening to David Myler earlier this week, where he felt as difficult as a footballer when you're in England and you're earning your living there to be the person to put your head above the parapet and say something about this. Mm. And maybe the fact that James McLean has made it such a live issue over the last decade is just testament to how strong his own convictions are here.
Yeah, he said to be very strong, to be fair to him. I suppose what's so grim about the last 48 hours or so is that McLean has tried to raise the issue again and just try and get it through to some, let's be honest, not very clever people out there, that he is a human being, he is a family. This is, you know, this is not some computerized version of a person that you're targeting. It's a real person. And then the response this morning is just that grim. Like, it's somebody sitting there asking themselves, what could I write that's even worse? And coming up with, in their own minds, this zinger, and laughing to themselves. Like, there's no reaching somebody like that. It's very, very grim. Hopefully the net result of all of this is that McLean feels more supported and less alone. It was interesting, even last night, Ard O'Hanlon was on, and he was saying that regarding the Poppy situation, he avoids chat shows and talk shows and comedy shows every November because he doesn't want to have to make that decision. Because for him, the decision would be not to wear the Poppy, and it's a big deal over there, you know? It's not something, yeah, he wants to do, and equally he doesn't want the heat, understandably. Enda Brady of Sky News was on as well. There were two Irish people talking about what it's like over in England. Enda Brady of Sky News, he doesn't wear one. He's had plenty of Paddy-esque abuse as well. You know, Irishness has been used against him, but nothing on the scale, I think, of what James McLean's endured for 9-10 years. That's what's kind of come through, I think, the last day or so. The regularity of it over such a long time. And I think it explains the moments where McLean reacts and people say, oh, look, you're bringing it on yourself by reacting this way. But I think, as he said himself this morning, it builds and builds and builds, and then eventually you react. And that's very human and understanding. Worth listening to the full interview, needless to say. We'll play you maybe 15 minutes of it in the next hour. Niall Quinn was on as well this morning. He was telling interesting stories, for instance, at Sunderland, where you would think Niall Quinn is a god, you know, for obvious reasons as a player. And he talked about getting into his car as a player one night, one dark winter's evening on a Saturday, and he was carrying Aisling, who was then a young child. And he said, I was carrying her on my arm, and literally a meatball of a thug walked by and spat right into me. Piss off back to Ireland, Paddy. Now, he says it was a one-off incident, and it was an incident he kept very much to himself. But it was there. It was there. So that's where we are. Interesting to see, from an authority point of view, what can be done or what will be done over the next while. Obviously, look, death threats. The police need to get involved and sort them out very, very quickly. But then in stands, when fans come back, that will be the interesting litmus test. Richie, live football this evening, Champions League.
Yeah, and plenty of it. And Premier League as well. They're into the second half in the first of this evening's Premier League games at Turf Moor. It had been scoreless up until a couple of minutes ago. Peter Smith can tell us about the opening goal.
Burnley 0, Fulham 1, with the away team going ahead following a corner routine. From the right, the ball was whipped in by Luckman. Aynor got a touch to it after the ball had taken an initial ricochet. Robbie Brady trying to clear, might have sliced it into his own net. Could go down as an own goal. Ainor's claiming it. Burnley 0, Fulham 1.
Elsewhere, Manchester City can establish a 10-point lead at the top of the table tonight. Pep Guardiola's side are away to Everton from 8:15. We should have team news on that one in about 4 minutes' time. There are two more first legs to Champions League last 16 ties tonight. Porto entertain Juventus and Sevilla take on Borussia Dortmund. Both of those games kick off at 8 o'clock. Ashley Barty says she lost control of her Australian Open quarterfinal, leading by a set and 2-1 in the second. The top seed fell to a 3-set defeat to Karolina Muchova. The Czech will play Jennifer Brady in the semi-finals. Fans will be allowed to return as well, so it's a cruel irony for Barty, the home favourite, to drop out. But Muchova says her progress is a literal dream come true.
I actually have one memory from here. When I was a kid and got my first notebook, I put as a wallpaper Rod Laver Arena, the stadium, and I was just like, I hope one day, you know, it would be nice to play there or to look at the arena or whatever. And now, yeah, I just won a match and to make it to semi-finals, so it's amazing.
Meanwhile, Rich, Rafa Nadal, yeah. The big news.
Yeah, he's out. Stefanos Tsitsipas becoming just the third player ever to beat Nadal, having trailed by 2 sets to love. The fifth seed was a 5-set victor today to set up a semi-final date with the Russian Daniil Medvedev.
So I've been watching a bit of the Australian Open via Amazon Prime. I'm on one of those little free runs at the moment. It works very well. You know, you go on there, there's a full menu of every match, either live or ones you've just missed. It's a really nice service, and it could be coming to a GAA championship near you.
Beautiful segue, Joe. Thank you. Amazon Prime Video has emerged as a potential destination for GAA coverage. The GAA's current deal with Sky Sports runs through 2022, with discussions due to begin shortly regarding future media rights options. Commercial director Peter McKenna says 2020 and all that came with it showed that the GAA and its streaming has its distinct advantages.
I think there's some positives this year in the media rights landscape, Sean. We certainly got huge support from TG Garra and RTE in allowing streaming to occur, even though it was contrary to the contracts that we had with them. So I think streaming and digitization is going to be a bigger part of the contracts. I think the importance of sport in a national broadcast sense is far more important now, when you just see what other content is available and where it's available. So, you know, I think we have a very good product for a media rights negotiation. And I think there's a lot of, you know, players in the market now and new ones coming into it. So I'd be very confident about a very healthy, discussion with, you know, the existing partners. But there's some newcomers coming into that frame too. Like Amazon, for example.
the long pause and then dropping that clanger in. Well, I mean, GAA, rugby, they're all looking over at Jeff Bezos saying, Jeff, let's talk about some of those billions you have, no problem.
Yeah, I was on that call yesterday, quite a lengthy discussion around the GAA's finances ahead of this virtual Congress. And look, it's very cleverly dropped in there by Peter McKenna, who's got a commercial background on this and who's been involved in the previous negotiations around broadcast agreements. And they lost a little bit of money in terms of their broadcast last year. I think it was around 19 million euro they brought in. So understandably, when Sky and RTE were about to sit down for conversations about extending their contract, you put it out there that there could potentially be a new bidder in town. Mm. But I would think that it's very unlikely to happen, Joe, for one reason, really. And that's that the GAA have got a partnership with RTE around GAA Go, who already provide their streaming service and their international streaming service. While Amazon would be looking to go into that market if they were to take GAA rights, I can't imagine that the GAA would negotiate against a company where they already have a 50% share. And also, I'm not sure really, is the market big enough for Amazon, who've been targeting things like tennis grand slams, Bundesliga rights, the Premier League rights, and potentially European football, to go after a market where Sky would already have the UK market in terms of streaming. I think it's big enough for GAA Go. I don't know if it's big enough for Amazon, lads.
But then again, much like Sky used it as a hook to get Irish subscribers notionally, I don't know how well that worked, obviously enough for the numbers. But similarly, it is a subscription service, so it would be a means for Amazon to broaden their base in Ireland if they just had that one carrot to say, listen, you know, all those games that aren't on RTE, we have them live. And by God, they would have the means to provide streaming access to them. So I wouldn't necessarily downplay it entirely.
Be interesting to see how it all plays out, all right. French situation then is tricky with Fabien Galthié. I mean, I think France are actually lucky they don't have a match this weekend.
Yeah, they have made three changes, though, to their squad for next week's Six Nations showdown with Scotland. Jean-Baptiste Gros, Swan Ribage and Demba Bamba return, while Hassan Collingar, Baptiste Bessenti and Dorian Aldeguerri depart the squad of 31. Meanwhile, France head coach Fabien Galthié has assured supporters that he is feeling well. He's currently isolating, having tested positive for COVID-19, but is said to be asymptomatic. Galtier's assistant, William Servat, became the third member of the coaching staff to test positive. No French players have tested positive for coronavirus. They are subject to further testing down the line this weekend. I think Friday is the next batch. Then they're going to have another testing round on Sunday, right, when they reassemble at their training camp. And most importantly, we should add as well, the IRFU reporting yesterday that no Irish players were subject to positive tests from the latest round of PCR examinations after that France game. News of an equaliser, by the way, at Turf Moor. Burnley pulling one back at home to Fulham. Now, Burnley won, Fulham won. Ashley Barnes has gotten that equaliser after Ona Aina gave Fulham the lead there.
If Galthié were to test positive next Monday as opposed to this Monday, Will, then both he and William Servat, they missed the Scotland game, but they missed the whole week. This is going to have an effect on the championship somewhere along the line, you suspect.
Yeah, look, it's the best possible timing, as you mentioned, in terms of the French camp, because at least I think 10 days is what was being discussed in the French media that they'll have to isolate. And I spoke to Eddie Jones a couple of weeks ago before the Six Nations started and asked him about, you know, the effect of not being able to link up with the team. And he was saying probably the biggest effect for him was less so the training pitch, but being unable to have face-to-face contact with his coaching team while he was isolating. He said it did present a little bit of a challenge. You know, technology is there to be able to ease this a little bit, but it's far from ideal because teams want to use this week in order to, you know, get their preparations absolutely correct for the Scotland game. At best, he's coming back in and the players affected very close to the game itself, and you'd have to wonder how much it's going to disrupt their preparations. But, you know, we have been quite lucky so far that there's been very few positive cases since the tournament kicked off 2 weeks ago in a general sense across the teams who are competing.
Yeah, it's gone remarkably well, you'd have to say. Fellas, shorter and sweeter than usual this evening. Thanks very much, Richie McCormack and Will O'Callaghan. We're going to LA and talking to Padraig Harrington, who on the isolating theme is self-isolating as we speak.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.